While they are bringing that, let me review something for you. The Word of God has within it many, many commands. We find that God gave us in the book of Exodus chapter number 20 on Mount Sinai the Ten Commandments. By the way, we find those rehearsed again in Deuteronomy chapter 5. And we find that those laws teach us one very important thing. We can't do it. And that law is really our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, because there's not one of us that can obey all of those. Now, after we're saved, there's an amazing thing that can happen. The Spirit of God, as He moves into our hearts, can actually, if we allow Him that position, He can live it. And you and I can begin to live a life of righteousness. Now, we find that when we get into the New Testament, the Lord Jesus Christ was asked a very important question. And in that question, our Savior gave an answer. And what He did in that answer was, there's 613 commands in the Old Testament. God kind of narrowed it down to 10 that was really specific to us. And then Jesus brings that down to 2 and really simplifies things. How many people need something simple? Praise God, I'm in the right crowd. And that is this: we're to love God, and we're to love our brethren. We're to love God, and we're to love other people. And so God is talking so much about relationships. And there is one thing that gets in the way of all relationships. One thing. It's you. For all of my relationships, it's me. We are the major problem in all relationships. We're the problem with God, because God loves us immensely, unconditionally, unqualified. Our God simply loves us, even though we're unlovely. But the problem in that relationship is not God, it's us. And, of course, that relationship can be established when we realize who we are and who God is and accept Him, accept His Son, the Lord Jesus, our Savior. Then we find that there's another problem, and that's in our relationship with others. And again, it's not them. We want to blame them, don't we? Matter of fact, if you have children at home, you deal with that every day, don't you? And they are always blaming somebody else. And by the way, they learn that from us. They don't really need teachers, but they do learn it from us. And we're always blaming other people too. But the Bible says that we are what? We are to love others. We're to love our brothers ourselves. Okay? And so we find we are the problem, because we are so self-centered and selfish in our nature. So we got this big problem. And that is, we don't establish or have relationships as we could. This morning I want to share with you how we can, some of the things that we can do anyways, that we can do to change that, especially with other people. And I've actually entitled this morning, How to Defeat Your Enemies. Or perhaps we could put it this way, How to Make Our Enemies Our Friends. Or maybe we could entitle it this way, Loving Your Enemies. Because I believe God wants us to do that. That sounds familiar, doesn't it? You ever heard that verse? We're to love our enemies. Romans chapter 12, I want to read verses 17 to 21. Romans chapter 12, verses 17 down to verse number 21. And just allow these words to mingle in your heart. We're going to look at them. It says, Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink, for in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Father, again, bless today. Work in our hearts, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead, please, be seated. If you take a stand for the Lord Jesus Christ, if you live righteously and you have a desire to live righteously, I guarantee you're going to make some enemies in this world. But I don't believe a Christian should ever be an enemy. In other words, I don't believe in our hearts we ought to look at others as our enemies. And if we would come to that place in our lives, what a blessing it would be. Those who are our enemies can, however, be overcome according to our text. According to what God says here, there are some things that you and I can do that is going to make things a whole lot better. We're not talking here about defeating our enemies, but here we're talking about being able to have victory in this area of our lives with those who don't really like us or really don't care for who we are or what we stand for. And we find that this text here, I believe, provides us with some tremendous insight into relational issues. Again, the relationship with God is number one. Relationship with other people is number two. When the Lord boiled it all down, there's where we're at. And so we need to give a lot of thought to this. Living peaceably with all men is possible from our side. If you notice verse number 18, if it be possible as much as life in you, live peaceably with all men. I believe it is possible from our side. However, we might find that, you know, others are not always affected the way we'd like for it to be. And we might find ourselves having some problems still. But nonetheless, God gives us something here that you and I can do. One of the things we find is that we are never, never to take vengeance ourselves. We are never to be the one that tries to get even. Avenging ourselves is never an option. In fact, we find here that we are to give place, notice verse number 19, under wrath. We're to give that place of wrath to God. Let Him take care of it. Let Him take care of it. Years ago, there was a little phrase for a commercial went, pop, pop, fizz, fizz, oh, what a relief it is. I don't know what that was for. What? Alka-Seltzer, okay. I'll tell you the truth. You know, if we will come to this spot where we are not seeking revenge, we're not trying to get even, and it's not about us, it's letting God have this thing, it's pop, pop, fizz, fizz, oh, what a relief it is. It puts us in a great position. Okay? We're not walking around, get this guy. You know, we let it go. Okay? There's something interesting. If you study this out, and you might want to do this, when we're looking here and God's saying, hey, you're not the avenger, leave that up to me. You go on down to chapter number 13, and we find in chapter number 13 that God establishes powers here in this world, His government powers, and He gives to them the job of avenging civil things. Okay? And so government has that responsibility. It's not up to you and I. It's not up to us to try to get even with somebody and get back with this. I suppose that if a certain writer by the name of Lewis Lamore had ever really practiced that in his writings, he wouldn't have any books to write. Because probably three quarters of them are some cowboy who's mad at somebody else trying to get even with him, and he finally shoots the avenger and he feels so good, you know, and all that business. But really, we feel better when we just give it to God. Amen? Well, maybe you don't. Maybe you haven't tried it yet, but you ought to. It does work. Amen? Doing the opposite of vengeance by doing them good is what God says will bring about really their defeat. He says it will heap coals of fire on their head. Simply stated, verse number 20, doing good to those whom are our enemies, those who use us, those who they don't like us, doing good to them will bring you the victory. Did you hear that? Bring you the victory. Because you're not carrying around all of this stuff. Okay? Let me share a couple of things here that God has just relayed on my heart in relationship to all of this. First thing I'd like to share is I think about folks who are in this position of living peaceably with all men. Have you ever noticed that happy people are non-threatening? Have you ever noticed that happy people are disarming? Let's put it this way. Have you ever really were upset at somebody and they approached you and they were so happy and they said, "Good morning, it's so good to see you." It's pretty hard to maintain your vengeful attitude. Have you noticed that? It's hard to stay mad at someone who is smiling at you. Really, think about it. Somebody who seems to be excited by your presence. It's really hard to stay mad at them. And you know, if you and I would understand that from our perspective and get happy in the Lord, because that's the only place you're going to do it. Amen? You're not going to get happy looking at them, but you get happy in the Lord. Hey, it's not about me. It's not about them. It's about Him. And whatever they said, whatever they did, it doesn't matter. God's going to take care of that. And we can approach them with the right attitude. My goodness, it's disarming. On the other hand, those who frown are easier to dislike. Let me give you some verses. The book of Proverbs, tremendous book. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 22 says, "An angry man stirreth up..." Anybody know? Strife. "An angry man stirreth up strife, and a furious man aboundeth in transgressions." So if we walk around angry at everybody, we're just going to cause trouble. But if we actually can get along with God, we can have the right attitude. We are excited about God. Our focus is upon Him. It's not upon ourselves. We're not angry because somebody is not doing what we want them to do. We're not seeking for vengeance. It's letting them off of our hook. It's pop, pop, fizz, fizz, oh, what a relief it is. It is putting ourselves in a position whereby, hey, listen, we're not seeing things stirred up. The Bible tells me something else in chapter 10, verse 12 says, "Hatred stirreth up strife," but listen, the rest says, "but love covereth all sins." In our relationships, if we would really practice, if you just take out one verse of all this today and just kind of post that in your memory block, Proverbs 10:12, that is it in a nutshell. Hatred stirreth up strife. Love covereth all sins. Now, brethren, that doesn't mean we love their sin. But we're letting God take care of it. We understand? You know, it's sometimes hard for us to distinguish between loving the sinner and hating the sin. And too often we are too willing to hate the sinner and love the sin. And we need to have our focus upon the Lord, because that's exactly what God does. He loves the sinner, but He hates the sin. A wrathful man, it tells us in chapter 15, verse 18, stirreth up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeaseth strife. What are we saying? The opposite of all that is, we got a smile on our face, we got joy in our heart, we're seeing an individual, we are disarming them. We are non-threatening to them. "Whoso diggeth a pit," the Bible says in Proverbs 26:27, "whoso diggeth a pit shall fall therein, he that rolleth a stone, it will return upon him." And that's just some picturesque language saying basically the same thing. If we want to really enjoy what's out there, quit digging holes or we're going to fall in it. If you leave a rake in the yard, what's going to happen? When you walk through the yard, you step on it and the thing's going to come up and bonk you in the head. Okay? That's what it's talking about. And so we don't need to dig these holes. We don't need to allow these things to take place. We need to what? Focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. Once again, surely the Bible says, "The churning of milk bringeth forth butter, and the wringing of the nose bringeth forth blood. So the forcing of wrath bringeth forth strife." I like that part. "Wringeth the nose, bringeth forth blood." You got to picture that, Rick. You know? And what's it do? It doesn't help anything. And what's he likened it to him? Forcing wrath is going to bring what? Strife to us. Happy people are non-threatening and they're disarming. Okay? Avenge not ourselves. Don't be looking at the problem between you and they. Hey, it's God's deal. They've done something wrong. Let God take care of it. We carry this stuff around on our back. We carry all this garbage with us. We need to get rid of it. Let God take care of it. Amen? You're free. Just a beautiful spot to be. Okay? Secondly, I think of this. Happy people, this is our real place this morning. Happy people aren't born, they're made. How many babies come to the world happy? Think about it. How many kids come to the world with a non-selfish attitude? Think about it. It's all about them. They're mad because they had to leave the warmth of their mommy's tummy. They're mad for all that took place in those hours of labor. And they come to this world, and if they aren't mad enough yet, the doctor swats them, and now they are. I don't know if they do that anymore, but that's the old deal. And what do little kids do? They break into crying every time they don't get their own way. And they throw their little tantrums. And some adults have never grown up. By the way, parents, God gave to us children. And one of the things that we've got to do is train them that they not grow up with a selfish attitude. I remember one time in particular, I had this little, it was an electric game, believe it or not, way back in the 50s, we had an electric game. And it was something that was never been before. And I had this thing, and my nephews had come over. They had gotten it out and were playing with it. And I got mad because I was afraid they were going to break it. I don't know why I never played with it. It wasn't much fun. It was really kind of a silly little thing. And really, it was a football game, and all it did was vibrate, and they had these little players that run these little thingies, and they just kind of move with the vibration. And but I was upset because they were going to break it. It is honestly the only time I can remember that my dad ever whipped me. And I thought it was horribly unfair that my dad whipped me that time. It wasn't until I was in my 20s when I thought about that particular scene that I realized what my dad was trying to do. I'm sure he understood I was trying to keep my game safe from my nephews. But what he saw was a selfish little boy who needed that taken out of him. And so he sought to discipline me for that reason. Discipline is for the purpose of breaking that selfish will. Does anybody here have perfect kids? How many of you have children, you hate to admit it, but they're like you? Now, how many of you moms and dads sit here today, and when they do something wrong, you're the husband, you say, oh, they're just like their mother. We need to get you a mirror. We all do that. Not very many admitted it. And we want to blame somebody else, but really it's us. What we need to do, we need to break that selfish will in their lives. We come to know Christ as our Savior, and we come into this relationship with God, and we still have that selfishness. Though we may have had tremendous parents and many things were taken out of our lives, we still have a selfish nature. And as a result of that, we find that we have conflicts with people because they're not doing what we want them to do. And because of that, we get angry and we have strife and we have these fightings. We have all these problems that really could be alleviated if we stop saying it's their fault. And recognize that it's our fault in the fact that we want to avenge. We want to get even. We want our way. And let God have the vengeance. Now, I want you to notice something here this morning, because I believe there's a key to this whole section. Verse number 18, notice what it says. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. I want you to notice that middle phrase there, as much as lieth in you. Even if we've had good childhood training, this matter of selfishness will not be resolved until we give ourselves wholly into the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. The reason there's not much in us sometimes is because we have not allowed the Spirit of God to have complete control within us. Let me take you to the book of Galatians for a moment. Book of Galatians and chapter 5. We look here often, but I believe it's so very important for us. And let's look at these words again. In chapter 5, verse 22, I believe it is. And notice what it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is. By the way, it doesn't say fruits. Do you notice that? It's fruit. It's singular. The fruit of the Spirit. So all of these things are incorporated with this. Matter of fact, you notice the verb, the what do we call these? I call them to be. State of being, I believe it's called, is. Okay? The fruit of the Spirit is. It's not the fruit of the fruits of the Spirit are. Okay? So God is saying these things come in a package deal. This is what the Spirit of God wants to put in our lives. When we are open to His complete leadership. In Ephesians it says, be filled with the Spirit. And if we have the fullness of the Spirit, notice what is going to be in our life. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. That's interesting as he ends there. He says, against such there is no law. There's no laws regulating this. In other words, these things are fully operational. God wants this completely in our lives. Only the Spirit-filled life is going to allow this fruit to expand in our life. Several times I've mentioned this morning that if we will, rather than look in ourselves, look to God. In other words, we've got to open ourselves to the Spirit of God who wants to place that in our lives. As much as life in you is, how much is in there will determine how we get along with other people. So what I look at is this. We can gauge our spirituality by our relationships with other people. If we're walking in the Spirit of God, He is giving to us down inside an ability to get along with others. Because when we're walking in the Spirit of God, it's not what we want, it's what He wants. When it's what He wants, it's no longer us, as we talked about last week, trying to be in control. It's His control. And how we need to allow Him to control. Now let me ask you a question. If the Spirit of God is in complete control of your life, and you have given yourself completely over to that, is it going to be a miserable life or a wonderful life? That answer's obvious, isn't it? And too often we think, man, I'm going to be miserable if I'm tied to God like that. I can't just have any fun. Hang on a minute. The Spirit of God, one of the traits that we find here that comes booming through is joy. Joy. Wow. When we're walking in the Spirit of God, it's joy. You say, well, how can I be filled with the Holy Spirit of God? This is an easy and a hard question and answer. I believe it lies in one specific word, and that word is yield. Yield. When we are willing to yield control to Him. Yield control to Him. I was talking to an individual this week. A very, very good person. One who loves God, wants to do what God wants him to do. And I was talking about a certain issue, and I said, well, this is what God tells us to do. And they said this to me. And no doubt any of us who've said something to this nature thought it. Well, I've tried that and it don't work. What I said was a biblical thing to do. And when they looked at it, they had tried it a couple times, honestly, and did not seem to work. But it does. For instance, part of the control of the Spirit of God when we yield ourselves to Him is right here in this verse where we are not seeking vengeance. Where God says, what's it say in that last verse? My Bible's up there, right? Huh? Overcome. Oh, you're in the wrong place. Good night. Where are we at? First, Romans 12. Somebody, last verse. What's it say? Oh, wow. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. See? So you've had somebody that's been really nasty to you. What's your immediate thought to do? What is your will to do? Pound them. Yeah, I agree with you. Okay. That's our nature. Yeah. Yeah. And sometimes we fulfill it. Yeah. We're generally sorry, aren't we? But what does God say to do? If we're going to allow the Spirit of God to direct us in our lives, do you know how He's going to direct us? Through His wondrous Word. Well, it'll never work. And what do we say? No to the Spirit of God. By the way, if we'll do what He says, the marvelous thing happens. God gives us strength to do it. Yeah. Brett, you're exactly right. I don't want to do that. But if I listen to God and follow that, and by the way, when I have, it works. Yeah. Well, I don't feel like smiling at him. Does that sound like you're full of the Spirit of God? Huh? Your thoughts are on what? Your thoughts on yourself, aren't they? Oh, well. We sat down in prayer this morning, and Jay was leading prayer. He started out, and boy, right away, his mind just... If you ever pray with Jay, he's an unusual guy. And when he prays, it's just like he's talking to someone. Amen? I love it. And so he starts on praying. He says, well, Lord, this morning we got out the side and we began to leave. And there we saw a deer on the hill and some squirrels playing around and other animals. And he thought, wow, God is so great. He made all of these things for us to enjoy. Huh? You know, when we begin to refocus and put our minds on something else, it changes it, doesn't it? Now let me ask you a question. Have you ever gone to work in a bad mood? How'd your day go? Alrighty. Have you gone to work in a good mood and horrible things happen and it was like, who cares? Do you know what? We as God's people will never be in a bad mood. Can we be walking in the Spirit of God and be in a bad mood? Feet get trampled on, amen? Yeah, we get that way, don't we? That is not where God wants us. We're what? Be in the fullness of the Spirit of God, allowing Him to direct us every moment, yielding to Him. Okay? Our thoughts focused upon Him. But what's our problem? Something happens, and man, we focus on that. And if somebody did us dirty, we want to get even. And those thoughts of vengeance run through our minds, and we're going to get them. And you know what I found out? About 99% of the time, they don't even know what they did. And I'm all upset inside, and they're as free as a bird. You know, the best thing for me is just to let it go. Let it go. And to seek to do something nice. God, I'm going to think about You. I'm going to put my mind, my focus upon You. And when that happens, listen, now all of a sudden, rather than thoughts that are making us sad, we got thoughts that are making us glad. And we can run into that individual in a good mood and disarm them. And who knows, they might become your best friend. Oh, Horace, they my best friend. You got to be kidding me. They're the worst people on the earth. Yeah, and Satan's got us back in his grip, doesn't he? How we need to just, what's the phrase, let go and let God? Amen. Wow. I looked at these verses and it just spoke to my heart. I wish I could stand here this morning and say, man, I practice these religiously 100% of the time. Let me tell you, when you point a finger, there's always three coming back. But may God help me to focus continuously and constantly upon Him, that I might have the right mindset, that I might be able to go into the presence of mine enemies, and as much as lieth in me is, live peaceably with all men. Not having hatred in my heart stirring up strife, but love in my heart that allows me to reach out to those folks. Amen. How else can you have, as I read the story just a couple of months ago, I forget the nation, I think Vietnam, or was it the Philippines, one of the islands, overrun by Muslims that simply want to kill all the Christians, has a chance to leave, but this pastor says, no, I want to stay here and show them the love of God. To those who want to eliminate him, who have brought tremendous grief to him, I think to myself, here's a man that is not well known in our circles. And I hear this term so often it makes me really kind of ill. But I look at that guy and I say, that is a great man of God. Never been to a Bible college. Probably doesn't have a whole lot of formal training. But he has allowed the Word of God and the Spirit of God to control his life, that he might love his enemies. God help us. Help us, O God, to emulate that. Help us, O God, to put our minds upon You. Help us, O God, to allow the Spirit of God to yield to Him. If we're saved today, it's possible. To get our minds off ourselves and always angry, always lashing out, to being one who is full of love and joy and peace. And rather than lashing out, we are reaching out. God, work in our hearts in this matter. Strengthen us that we might be a people who truly love our neighbors ourselves. Lord, that we might be a witness. You allow all of these evil things, and You allow these kind of people come in our life, that we might truly be practitioners of Christianity, the true thing. Bless in our hearts, we pray. Bless in the hour to follow, we thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.